Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
What does PepsiCo and other companies have to do with aborted babies? Do vaccines have anything to do with aborted babies? Maybe a lot more than you think. I've heard off and on about stem cells from aborted babies being used in some vaccines, but it wasn't until last May that I first heard of the possibility of them being used in flavor enhancers. The very idea of that just grosses me out. What are we doing to our nation's children? It is very troubling, and we as a nation will be held accountable. It's bad enough to hear about stem cells being used to work towards supposed medical breakthroughs, although the score of adult stem cell successes to embryonic stem cell successes is over 70-0. But it appears they're thinking up ways to use embryonic stem cells. My guest today is Debbie Vintage. I hope I'm pronouncing your last name right there, Debbie.
Yes, you are.
Okay. You're the executive director of Children of God for Life, which is based in sunny Largo, Florida.
That's correct.
And thanks, Debbie, for being with us.
Oh, thanks so much for having me on the show.
Give us some background about your organization, and how did you come up with the name Children of God for Life?
Wow. Okay. Children of God for Life was formed back in the late 1990s, 1999, under the Clinton administration still. And the reason for us being formed to begin with, I'll tell you that, is because at the time, nobody knew what a stem cell was.
And a lot of people don't even now.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know now. And in fact, there's some errors already in what you've already said.
Oh, so really? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, we're going to clarify that.
I get some red marks on my paper here. Okay.
Sure. Because it gets reported this way all the time.
Yeah.
People just kind of blur everything, and there's a distinct difference between embryonic or stem cells and aborted fetal material. But anyway, we were educating the public on the differences between adult stem cells and embryonic stem cells and talking about human cloning. When we found out about the aborted fetal vaccines, the certain vaccines that were being produced using aborted fetal material, and, you know, as a mom, my own children had those vaccines. I was sick to my stomach, and I was really angry, and I kept thinking, well, you know, there's nothing I can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, you know, God has other
plans. Oh, yeah, right, I understand.
Yeah, so.
I understand perfectly.
Anyway, so we took on that issue, and we really, you know, stayed focused on the bioethics issues of stem cell research and also aborted fetal research, and then these products that have come into play and all these different medicines that we have out there and the people are using and have no idea that they actually contain DNA and cell components from these aborted children.
Wow.
So, and Children of God for Life, it was kind of an interesting thing when I was first trying to think of a name for our company. COG, the COG, came up a lot, you know, and it said Children of God and COG because it was like just a little piece of a mechanism of a big piece of machinery, you know, that the whole pro-life movement. And I felt that we were just this little cog, just this little piece, and that was this little section that I was going to be focusing on stem cell research. I had no idea at the time, of course.
Right, that God had a bigger plan.
It was going to be a lot bigger than that.
Right.
But that is really how we started, and Children of God, it was came in as the cog part of it, and then For Life was just natural.
Absolutely. Yep. So you concentrated on the cog part. Okay, good. Because you're just cogged in a larger mechanism. That's good.
That's right.
Now, okay, so explain my errors in my introduction, because a lot of people, even obviously including myself, which I thought I kind of understood what the difference was. What's the difference?
Well, here's the thing. When we talk about stem cells, and I'm going to focus just on embryonic stem cells right now. Yeah. When we speak about embryonic stem cells, we're talking about those cells that normally you're going to find are obtained through the embryos that are left over in vitro fertilization clinics.
Okay.
Now, that's not to say you can't get embryonic stem cells from a baby who's aborted. Mm-hmm. You could, but it's not typically the way they're doing it. When you hear about people that are going after embryonic stem cells, they are seeking them or taking them from those leftover embryos from in vitro fertilization clinics. Okay.
Can I just butt in real quick?
Yeah.
I just, because I know that there was the Snowflake project. I'll call it a project. Can't think of a better word, but Snowflake, and that was where people could adopt those embryos.
That's right.
I just read recently where Obama has defunded that program.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yep, I did see that.
Yeah.
Now, it's interesting, too. All these embryos, people were saying, you know, when they were really, really pushing for embryonic stem cell research funding, you know, oh, there's some 400,000 of these embryos that are sitting in deep freeze, and they're just going to go to waste. And actually, as it turns out, there was only about 12%. 5% of those that were not earmarked for future pregnancies, where the, you know, the parents were not, of those embryos, were not willing to give them up.
Oh, you're kidding. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so there really wasn't that many embryos to begin with. So, you know, they kept thinking, though, that this was just going to be a great source.
And they said, what, 400,000? Is that the number you gave?
That's what they said.
Oh, that's
what
they said.
They were reporting that there were 400,000, and actually that wasn't even close to the number that they even could have used for research purposes if those embryos even survived the thawing process.
Yeah,
because many times when they take them out to thaw them, take them out of the deep freeze, they don't survive.
You know, and that whole thing in itself is...
It's horrible.
Yeah.
It's ghastly. It's, to me, it's just such a...
To thaw a potential baby, I mean, a human embryo, you've frozen it.
Yep.
And then you thaw it. I mean, that's what you do with dinner.
It's horrible. It's horrible. It is so, you know, Frankenstein, really. And
exactly,
what they do, what they're wanting to do with this is horrible. And the things they do with stem cell research and human cloning are just unbelievable. You know, and human-animal hybrids and just, I mean, we have so many things going on.
Uh-huh.
We could talk a whole afternoon about what they're doing in stem cell research that are just not for any cures, mind you.
Just for experimentation, because they're there to experiment with.
That's right. That's right.
No, it's,
but so anyway, but the thing is that's confusing in this whole Pepsi situation and why it has caused a lot of confusion is they named the cell line that they are using is called HEK, which stands for human embryonic kidney. Now, they named it that. The scientists named it that. But in reality, that is not even embryonic. When we talk about an embryo is in the development of, you know, of a baby. From the moment of fertilization through 10 weeks, that's called the embryonic stage. At the end of 10 weeks, so then be going forward, it's the fetal stage all the way through till birth.
Okay, so an embryo is defined as from fertilization to 10 weeks.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yep. So that very moment of fertilization through 10 weeks, and then from 10 weeks on to the end of pregnancy is the fetal stage.
Okay.
Well, the kidneys don't even begin to be fully formed until about 11 weeks. And then they're not necessarily fully formed, but they wouldn't have had viable kidneys in an embryo.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely wouldn't have. So we know that this baby was from the fetal stage.
Oh, my goodness.
And of course, it makes sense, you know, that it would be. But they named it embryonic because that kind of sanitizes it, you know? I think that they believe that the public looks at, well, you know, embryonic, it doesn't sound as bad.
Right.
You know, because so many people think that embryonic stem cell research is just perfectly okay.
Mm-hmm. It's not dealing with a real person, a real baby.
Right. Yeah. It's almost like, well, they think, well, you know, you think of an embryo, you think it's just so tiny and little that it doesn't matter. And they don't realize, of course, that, you know, the baby's heart is beating at 18 days and, you know, they don't know any of this stuff.
Yeah.
But I think they do it to sanitize what they're doing and make it sound better, because we have another cell line we know of that they're using in vaccine development, and it's called PERC6, and it stands for embryonic, the ER stands for embryonic retinal, okay, but it's taken from an 18-week gestation baby's eyes. Now, you know, I think, how could you call this embryonic?
You can't.
It's not.
Except, like you're saying, they're trying to sanitize it to make it appear that they're mad scientists are doing something, quote-unquote, ethical.
Right, that's absolutely right.
Yeah.
So, of course, they never talk about it being a stem cell. In this whole business of Pepsi's filings, the attorneys for Pepsi did call it embryonic and did call it stem cells and did refer to it back to the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, in their filings as embryonic cells, stem cells, and it's not. It's absolutely not.
You mean an attorney will mislead someone?
Well, that's my point, too, is, and there's guidelines with the SEC that say you can't do that. If they have given any kind of false information, that needs to be brought to the attention of the SEC. So I do intend to do that. We intend to write them a letter and let them know.
Yeah, truthfully, do you think you're getting anywhere, though, with
No, probably not,
okay.
But it'll make me feel better.
Well, true, and the record will be set straight, and the
that's
SEC
right.
will have the facts.
That's right, because right now, if you let it go the way it is, the attorney said so, and they filed it with the SEC, so that's what it is, and over and done. No,
right.
It's not going to go that way. That smoothly,
right.
Because it's wrong.
Yeah, the official record will also include the facts.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's right. You know, this filing that was done, of course, I'm assuming here that as we're talking, your listeners know all about what's happened. You maybe should give you a little bit of background.
Yeah, that'd be good. I got your all's news release titled Obama Agency Rules PepsiCo Cannibalizing Aborted Fetus is quote-unquote ordinary business.
Right.
So, yeah, give us some background on all that.
Okay. As I was saying, when Children of God for Life began, we were focusing on these areas of aborted fetal and embryonic stem cell research and products that actually came from abortion that were out of there on the market. And we have people call us or they write to us all the time. Over the last 12 years, I've had just thousands of letters, really, from people that want to know about this product or that product. Mm-hmm. Is it okay to use it? And so one day we got a letter from someone who said, you know, there's this company, Sinomics, out in California, and they are putting these aborted babies in foods. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, that's impossible.
Yeah.
That would never happen because the FDA would never allow such a thing.
Right, we live in America, right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're not cannibals, you know, we can't
right.
do that. Of course, mm-hmm. If you think about it, using vaccines that have the cells in them is cannibalizing
yeah.
that, too. It is. It's just
all this
just by injection.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, something about the oral part of it that really gets to people.
Mm-hmm,
and
true.
So I went and I checked on this, and would take some research to took about 3 months to gather all the information because they had several patents. And we were going through trying to figure out what the heck they were doing, but we could definitely see that they were using human embryonic kidney to produce these flavor enhancers for beverages and for foods, but it doesn't end up in the product.
It does
okay?
not. Okay, the actual, no. but yet they've used those embryonic stem cells to create the flavor.
Right, but not a stem cell, remember. Remember, it's not a stem cell.
Okay.
Aborted fetal.
Okay.
It's an aborted fetal cell line. It actually came, you know, this is interesting, and I'll stop there to clarify this again, but the human embryonic kidney, which is called HEK,
mm-hmm.
even though it's called that, it's not embryonic, we know that, and it's also not stem cell, it's just a regular cell line. Now, the way a cell line is created or produced is that scientists will take an organ, and in this case, they took the kidneys, and then they scrape it, you know, and they put it under the microscope, and they get the cells to grow from that kidney. And the cells from a kidney are going to act differently than, say, the cells from
any other cell.
So if it lives and it's good and it's a viable thing, then they'll put it in deep freeze, and whenever they want to use it for experimenting, they'll take it out and grow culture and use it.
Yeah.
Yep, that's how they do that.
Just like tonight's supper.
Yeah, there you go. That's exactly right. So anyway, so we went in to find out what they were doing. And what Sinomics actually has done is you look at it this way. The human tongue has 5 taste receptors on them, right? We recognize salty
mm-hmm. right.
and sweet, yep, sour, bitter, and something called savory or umami. And in Sinomics, they claim that they can make, you know, thousands of different flavors using their special taste receptor system. And this taste receptor system consists of using aborted fetal cells.
Mm-hmm.
And they test the flavoring on those cells because the cells will elicit a different response back based on what they introduce. Whatever flavor they introduce, it sends a signal back. And so it's different than the human tongue. It has special proteins. Well, but it's not just that one particular cell line. In other words, you don't have to use human embryonic kidney to get that to work. You can use insect cells. You can use, you know,
whatever you feel led to use.
Sure, there's tons of moral options for them. And in fact, in their own patents, they were listing the options. So we wrote to them and we said, you know, you don't have to do this. You don't have to exploit the remains of this mm-hmm. poor aborted child. You know, don't do that. Use one of your moral sources to create your proprietary taste receptors and leave this poor baby alone.
Right.
And by the way, if we don't hear back from you, we're going to go after your customers,
mm-hmm.
you know. And they didn't respond.
They just completely
ignored us. And I think they probably would, you know, in retrospect, they would not have wanted to do that
mm-hmm.
because we have made life miserable for
right.
them for the last
right.
year. When we first reported on this in May, you know, I'm sorry, in March of 2011, it was the end of March. By that time, we had already written to their companies. And we had had some responses back. One, the first response we got back was from Campbell Soup. Campbell Soup was one of the companies listed as a partner of Sinomics.
Mm-hmm.
And they wrote back and said that the relationship that they had built with their customers over the years was not worth compromising for any bottom line or profit margin. And I thought,
wow,
you know, they're going to listen. I think they're going to do something. This
uh-huh.
is great. But they never did write back and let us know for sure one way or another.
So they wrote a letter to tickle your ears.
Yeah, they responded mm-hmm. back very, and they really did perk our interest
right.
because Pepsi responded by saying, we want to reassure you that our relationship with Sinomics is only to produce lower calorie, great tasting beverages.
To help the obesity problem in the country, I guess.
Yeah.
Lower calorie, yeah.
You're not getting this. Oh, yes. Oh, okay. Well, gee, if that's all you're going to use this poor aborted baby for, then, gee, that's okay. Yeah, they just didn't get it.
Right, exactly, yeah.
So, anyway, it was just like day and night between the two responses. And when we did our press release, and unfortunately, we included Campbell's in it as a list of the companies because we weren't real sure what they were going to do. And within 4 hours of our press release going out, we had phone calls and emails from their public relations management, and they said, we just, you know, wanted to let you know we had a meeting earlier this month with our board. We have severed all ties with Sonomic.
Wow. Earlier that month, I mean, was it that morning?
Actually earlier in the month in March.
Oh, okay, it actually was. Yeah. Okay, I didn't know.
Yeah, they actually had a board meeting the first week of March, and I was just so happy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I thanked her right away, and we've encouraged everyone to write to Campbell Soup and thank them, because we're always so quick to get on someone's case and boycott them. But when they do something good, you want to thank them,
Absolutely. Now, I have a question. Off-name brands, like off-name brand soups, is there any way to know whether those use, probably get this wrong, aborted fetal...
Sonomic flavor enhancers.
Well, right. Yeah.
I'm sorry, you said off-brand?
Not a Campbell soup or not a... There's no way to know whether or something
like okay. that. They're okay. I can tell you what we do know, this. Campbell's never produced a single soup using Sonomics, period.
Oh, okay.
Never did. They had definitely been trying to do something, to work something out with them, but it wasn't working out with them. Mm-hmm. Not at all. So they don't have a product out. We did verify that, to be sure. Make sure that they didn't, by the way, did you end your contract because you already got what you wanted? And actually, the answer was no, they never did.
They never did, actually. Okay.
Nope.
Okay.
And we do know that, at this point, there's not another company that was producing soups.
Okay.
So that won't be an issue for us.
Okay.
But we do know that Nestle's, for example, use them, and we know that Nestle's has used Sonomics for their coffee creamers.
I'll have to tell my husband that.
The Dairy Case coffee creamers that are out there.
Uh-huh.
You do not want to buy, if you're going to avoid them, you want to avoid, like, the Italian cream and the French vanilla that are in the dairy section.
I don't buy them. Yeah,
and also Maggi soup products. Now, that might be your off-brand that you were thinking
of.
Maggi is a M-A-G-G-I.
M-A-G-G-I,
like, it comes in a yellow bag or yellow box in the store. Okay. And they make some different under that brand name, but that's made by Nestle's, and that does use Sonomics.
So we need to look at not just the big name on the front of a label, we also need to look on the back and see who owns that company.
Sure.
Like the example you just gave, they're owned by Nestle's.
That's right. You wouldn't know that. The good news is we have a list on our website for anyone that wants to do it. They can go in. We have a one-page list, and it lists every product to avoid, every product involved.
Okay. Give us your website.
The main page of the website is www.cogforlife.com. That's cogforlife.org. And when they get on that page, you can click. There's a little picture of the baby wearing the Say No to Pepsi button.
Yeah.
You can click right on that, and it'll take you to everything you want to know and more.
Okay. And it's the more part that's scary.
Yeah, that's right. There's a lot of information
on there.
But we have like a page that we have of just Pepsi products because, you know, Pepsi, what we did with them is because they said they were going to use it for their beverages, then we said then that's what we're going to boycott is just their beverages. Now, some people have said, well, you know, Pepsi owns Frito-Lay. Should we boycott that? And I've said, you know, if people want to do that, they can. But we want to make this as easy as possible for people.
Which means they don't get to drink Pepsi anymore.
yeah, and that's hard because Pepsi owns Tropicana, and that's really hard for me. I'm here in Florida. Tropicana's everywhere.
Right.
So but I avoid it. We're not buying it. They own, there's a whole ton of them, Aquafina Water. They own Lipton beverages, Gatorade, Propel. There's a ton of them.
Okay, and that list is on your website?
Yes.
Okay.
Mug Root Beer, Sierra Mist. So we have them all listed, and we tell people, you know, look, these are the Pepsi products to avoid. These are the ones made by Nestle that we know are involved. The other company is Cadbury Adams. Now, Cadbury Adams makes chewing gum, and they also make Paul's cough drops.
Oh,
and Sour Patch Kids and things like that, candies, you know. So we've listed those on our website, too.
Oh, my goodness.
And they're all on that page. And then there's another section on the other side, that the cosmetic company we know of, which is Neocutis. They make anti-aging creams, and we've listed their products, and then the vaccines and medicines as well. So it's all on one page.
Oh, it's okay. Everything's on one page. Okay.
Yep.
Because I did wander around in there in your website some, and she made a print-off copy of the vaccines that are all listed.
Oh, yes. That's under our vaccines. We have a brochure on the vaccines, and we talk about in our brochure, you know, if there's a moral alternative, we let people know that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also talk about, mention the Pepsi issue and also the cosmetics. But the list is kind of nice because people can just take it and stick it in their purse, you know, at the store with them.
And it's good that you can offer ethical alternatives to these vaccines, because especially a new parent takes their child in to get the vaccines. They are doing it because they want to protect their child from childhood diseases.
That's right.
And probably the furthest thing from their mind is where the vaccine comes from, how it's actually produced or created.
Uh-huh.
And so this gives them a tool where they can check and see whether it's been produced ethically.
That's right. And we even put together one that doctors love, and it's based on the Center for Disease Control's schedule for immunization. So especially a new parent, they say, oh, my baby's got to go in for the two-month checkup. Now what's going to happen at the checkup?
Okay, well, that's a good...
Yeah, so it's listed in that format for them, too.
Okay, that's fantastic. It's also right there on your website, you said. Easy to find.
That's under the vaccines,
Okay,
click on the vaccines.
The vaccines.
That's right.
Okay, wow. So basically, folks need to go to your website and find out what is safe, really, when it comes to ethically getting vaccinations for their children or ethically consuming things, really.
That's right.
And it's so mind-boggling that we have to be so careful about going to the store and purchasing our food for next week.
Actually, you know, we shouldn't be in this position at
all. No, we should not. We should not.
You know, I think that if enough people raise their voices and their concerns to their own congressmen and senators...
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are working with the legislatures in some of the different states to do what's called a fair labeling informed consent law, because you will not find this in the ingredients on these products because it's in such a small quantity that it falls under what's known as GRAS, G-R-A-S, which is called generally recognized as safe. And so the FDA doesn't have oversight, and they actually do not monitor it whatsoever. That's kind of scary to me.
That is very sick. I thought that's what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, I agree. But then even on the ones that, like, for example, the medicines, it's in the package insert, but parents don't see that.
Or even if they did, would they know what it meant?
Right. They wouldn't. You know, they'd see something that says MRC5 or WI38, and they don't know what that means.
No, absolutely not. Even seeing the, what is it, HEK?
Right.
What's that?
Yep, that's right. What's HEK?
Yeah.
It's interesting. We have a scientist that we work with, and one scientist was horrified when she found out that HEK stood for human embryonic kidney because she had been told it was human epithelial kidney, which means it could have come from, you know, an adult patient. As soon as you say epithelial. So she never knew the
never
real...
Never knew what it really was.
That's right.
Wow.
You know, we said, that's wrong. People have a right to know. The scientists have a right to know it. You know, they knew it was human. They knew it was epithelial. But they didn't know it came from an embryo. That's wrong.
That is absolutely wrong. So you're working with some state legislative bodies to get a fair labeling?
An informed consent,
Okay, informed consent laws as far as so the consumer is informed before they purchase something.
That's right.
Okay.
You know, and it's an easy thing to do. You know, right now, parents are given a document to look at that talks about adverse reactions, you know, that they have to read on the
vaccine.
Exactly,
yeah.
And we've just said, look, this is so simple. Just put a paragraph on the same statement that gives the information that this vaccine is produced with aborted fetal material and let them know it. They need to know that it's in there. I mean, why? I always say this to people. If the FDA can require fat and carbohydrate information on a package of cookies, why shouldn't we know this kind of thing, you know, is in our medicine? Why shouldn't we know before we consume it?
Yeah, that's a very good question. How can folks contact you if they would like some more information?
The best way, you can go right from our website. You can just click on Contact Us.
Okay.
My email, direct email, if they're listening, is Debbie, D-E-B-I. Make sure you spell it that way or it'll come back to you. D-E-B-I at cogforlife.org.
Okay, fantastic. Wow, I sure appreciate the in-depth research you guys have done over the years and all the information that you've made available to us out here who don't understand this whole, you know, the differences between the stem cells and all that. Appreciate that, you know, your explanation here on the program of that and how we need to be careful.
Well, really glad to help.
Hey, take care.
You're welcome.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in defending traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA at Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, 16323, or visit their website at afafpa.org. The views expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect the views of American Family Radio, Lighthouse Ministries of Franklin, AFA, and AFAFPA.